tonight. Brother Michael Light from Baines, Texas. He's a very busy man in the gospel and serves as one of the elders of the congregation there in Baines. We've asked him to help us with this theme, it's High Time to Wake Out of Sleep About the Final Judgment. Okay, Brother Light, it's your time.
Well, I want to begin by thanking all of y'all for getting on the line tonight. This is a great way to study the Word of God. The theme of time to wake up, the high time to wake up, you could not have a better theme. It seems that so many have lost their way when it comes to spiritual matters. And tonight, as we draw to the conclusion this first week of lessons in the month of April, you know, we're going to deal with a topic that certainly applies to every one of us. I know in a general way, all truth applies to all men. But when you discuss the final judgment, this applies to all of us who have reached the age of accountability. And we're going to take our time tonight and go through about 10 points. And of course, I know we have to move fairly quickly, but jot these down and jot the scriptures down because, friends, we have to make sure that what we believe is the Word of God. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Well, there's a whole lot of people that have a lot of notions and they hold on to a lot of ideas that simply are not in the Bible. So we're always going to appeal to you to get your own Bible out, look the scriptures up, like Acts 17, verse 11, when Paul commended those Bereans because they searched the scriptures to make sure what was being taught was the truth. And there is no more serious topic than that one that we have in discussion tonight. The day of judgment, judgment day, will you be ready? Do you have questions about it? Well, I hope to answer some of those. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 is a passage we'll start with, which says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And friends, that text is pretty clear. All of us must appear. We must appear before Christ, and we are going to be judged. So as we set this up in our mind, I want to just get that very first point across. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. It doesn't matter if you believe the Bible. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist. It doesn't really matter what you think or what I think. The final judgment is going to take place, which is our very first point. The final judgment is certain. I don't care what men say. You know, Psalm chapter 2 asks the question, why do the heathen rage? The idea there is men who rage against God, who run their mouth, who shake their fists. And as you read through that, it says, the God of heaven shall take them in derision. God sits in his throne room and laughs at the futility of men trying to shout him down. We are mortals. He is immortal. He is God. We are not. He is the creator. We're the creature. Think about the Ten Commandments. When God gave those Ten Commandments, he did not ask for Moses' input. He didn't ask the people what they thought the truth should be. God is truth. God is pure. God is holy. God is just. God is true. Therefore, every syllable of his Bible, his word, flows from his very nature. He simply says, what is the case? It is my job to line myself up spiritually and to get my mind around what he says. Friends, 2 + 2 = 4 long before I was born. And 2 + 2 will be 4 long after I'm dead and gone. And that's true of you too. Truth does not need your approval or my approval to be true. So when it comes to this final judgment, just understand it is certain. Romans 2 and verse 3. Shalt thou escape the judgment of God? The answer is no. Acts 17 and verse 31, one of my favorite passages along this very line, that's the verse that says, for God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given us assurance and unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. But look again at that. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man. That's Jesus. And he's given us assurance. We know that because he raised Christ from the dead. And friends, appointments of God are going to be kept. There's no scenario that he cannot foresee. There's no circumstance that is beyond his view. There's no condition that he cannot control. Therefore, when God says there is a day of judgment coming, you can know it's coming. I don't know what next year holds. None of us saw what happened last year coming. There's a lot of things in our world that we don't foresee. Sometimes we guess, and sometimes we guess right, sometimes we guess wrong. But upon this subject, I don't have to guess, and you don't either. God is not trying to, you know, put some kind of pop quiz on us. He warns us over and over again. He wrote us a book. When you just think about the Bible itself and how it's composed and all the things God did through the history of mankind to bring the Word of God to us. And then whenever he created the church, and part of the work of the church is we're obligated to teach the gospel to those who are lost. I very much appreciate what the good brethren are doing here through this phone conference series of lessons there at Highland Heights in Houston. But they're just trying to carry out that great commission. God does not give those who are not Christians any excuses. He gives all Christians obligations to teach others. We have a book that's written for us. We have a church that's involved in evangelism. We have all these verses that are very, very clear. There is a day of judgment coming. You know, in Acts 24, about verse 25, the Apostle Paul was preaching to Felix, the king. And as he preached to him, we're told there, and he reasoned of righteousness and temperance. What's this next phrase? And the judgment to come. And Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. And when I have a more convenient season, I'll call upon you. Man, we do that sometime, don't we? You may hear a sermon like this. You may have heard 500 sermons like these that you hear on this conference call. And you may have known many times, yeah, that's true. I know that's true. I know I believe that. But, man, I'm just so busy right now. I've got other things going on. Well, you better clear your calendar, friends, because the day of judgment is rushing toward us. Romans 14, verse 11, you want a strong verse where God affirms the fact of the judgment? He says, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. As surely as God exists, he says, this day of judgment is coming. This day of reckoning is coming. You're here on this earth for a reason, friends. It's not to eat hamburgers, buy cars, and buy houses, get old, and die. That's what we do. But we are a soul made in the image of God, created by God. Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And once we committed sin, God has been, from the time of the garden till this very hour, working feverishly to save us, to bring us back to glory. That's your job and mine, is to find the truth, to follow the truth, and to get back to heaven. That's the whole point. And sometimes I think we get distracted by the world. So point number one, the final judgment is certain. Our second thought is, the final judgment, not only is it certain, it is universal. There's no country going to be exempt. All nations, Matthew 25, 31, Christ says, in that day, I will return, watch this, with all my angels. I don't know how many there are. I know there's quite a few of them mentioned in the Bible. I know before the crucifixion, whenever Peter and the apostles are confused and they want to, you know, try to fight off the men that came to get him. And Christ says, do you not understand that I could call legions of angels to help me if I needed them? But the day of judgment, they're all going to be there. And he says, again, back to Matthew 25, 31, and I will gather all nations before me, and I will separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. There is a day coming when all mankind will come and stand before Christ. I don't care what your religious background is. You may be a Muslim who doesn't believe in Jesus as God's son. You may be a Hindu who believes in all kinds of polytheistic gods. You may be a Buddhist who's striving for nirvana and trying to get back to some concept of merging back into some higher power. It doesn't matter what you may be an atheist who believes in nothing, an Epicurean who only believes in eat, sleep, sex, you know, whatever feels good, do it kind of thing, pleasure only. I don't care what you believe. It doesn't matter what I believe. This is a fact. The Bible says Christ will come back, and all nations, regardless of what you believe, will be gathered there for the judgment. Romans 14, 10 and following makes it very clear that every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. And friends, that's sobering, isn't it? Anybody who has any sense, when you know there's a day coming where you've got to give an answer. Most of us went to school, at least high school, and sometimes went to college too. But, you know, in high school, you had those, even elementary school, you had tests. I remember when I was a little bitty kid, I don't know, second, third, fourth grade, long in there. It seemed like every Friday we had a spelling test. I hated that spelling test. There were 10 or 15 words or whatever. The word list got longer as you got older. Well, that test was coming, whether you studied your words or not, so you had to get ready for it. But this is a universal judgment. Acts 10 and verse 42, Christ will judge the living and the dead. If Christ comes tomorrow and we're all still alive, we'll meet him in the air. That's the living ones. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents, those who've already died, that's the dead ones. All men of all time are going to stand before Christ. and give an account for what they've done and how they've lived. He'll judge the small and the great. Revelation 20 and verse 12. Look at Hebrews 7, 9 and verse 27. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You see how God paralleled those? He parallels death and judgment. Now, that, there's a reason for that. Every one of us is very, very familiar with death. Death comes for all men. As I mentioned again, unless we're in the group that's alive, whenever Christ comes back, we're going to die. I don't know how many funerals I've preached. It's over 200. I don't know how many people that you have known who passed away, but it's a very universal experience. There's no one who's not going to die if the Lord tarries. So he says, as surely as death comes, so does the judgment. And that raises another question. Well, who's going to be the judge? Well, I want to take a moment here on this one, because this one can be somewhat confusing. You find verses in the Bible that say that God's going to be the judge. Then you find verses that say that Christ is going to be the judge. By the way, Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. But let's look at a few quick verses. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, wherein it, whether it be good or whether it be bad. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, God judges without respect of persons every man's work. But now when you go back to the first two verses I started with, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, it tells you how. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then Acts 17, 31 specifically says it. For God, there's your Father, has appointed a day in which he, that's the Father, will judge all men through or by that man, Jesus Christ. So Christ will be the actual instrument, the actual one who does the judging. By the way, I'm thankful for that, and I hope you are too, because Christ came and lived among us. He took on flesh. He knows exactly every temptation you face. The Hebrew writer points out that Jesus Christ was tempted in all manners like as we are, yet without sin. Friend, you can't make a single excuse that Christ didn't see. He was tempted. He was betrayed. He was abused. He had people who disappointed him. He had people who loved him. He had people who hated him. He had days that everything went right. He had days that everything went wrong. He knows exactly what you've been through. By the way, if you read the Bible, God has recorded hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories, accounts of the lives of men and women just like me and you, some of whom did very, very well, and some who made horrendous decisions, who were wicked sinners. But the point is, he shows you and I how we should live. He shows us how we should not live. He shows us how to repent and get right if we, not just if, but when we sin. That's going to be a universal occurrence as we get older. All of us will sin. So Christ is going to be the judge. Now, next, I want to note that the final judgment will be individual. So it's going to be universal in that all men will be judged, but we're going to be judged as individuals. You know, we have a lot of folk right now who seem to be very, very comfortable with groupthink and with trying to put you or put me into a group and say, all people like this or this way, and all people like that or that way, which is an obvious lie. But the Bible is very clear. God is going to judge us as individuals. Back to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. See, God is righteous. God won't punish you for things you did not do. And he's not going to reward you for a life well lived if you did live a good life. There again, that verse says, for every man must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of himself to Jesus and be judged based on the deeds done in the body, be they good or bad. And by the way, that word man is neutral. It's general. It's not specific. It's mankind, man or woman. It doesn't matter. Romans 2 and verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds? It doesn't matter who your mama was. It doesn't matter who your daddy was. I'm not going to be saved because I came from a certain bloodline. I'm not going to be damned because I came from a certain bloodline. I won't be saved just because my wife's a Christian. I won't be condemned just because my wife's not a Christian. Ecclesiastes 18 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Did you catch that? I can't hide behind you, and you can't hide behind me. I am what I am because of the choices that I have made. And so are you. I can sum your entire life up in one sentence, and you can do mine the same way. If you had 30 seconds to calculate and look back on your life before you die, everything that happened in your life ultimately is your life, if you could define it this way, would be, it is a sum total of all the consequences of all the decisions that you've ever made. That's what your life is. From where you live, who you married, the kids you had, the job you had, the decisions you made, they all led you down the road we call life. And they explain how we get where we're going. The judgment will be individual. The factors of the judgment. Well, how is Christ going to judge me? What's he going to use? Well, what's going to be coming into account? Well, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 again, the things done in the body. Romans 2 and verse 6, the deeds that we have done in the body. James 2 and verse 12. So speak ye and so do as those who shall be judged by the perfect law of liberty. That passage says you better sober up. You better live like a person who understands you're going to have to give an account in light of that law of liberty. That law of liberty is the gospel. Friends, I know we gear these lessons primarily to non-Christians. I'm speaking right to you from the heart, friend. You're going to stand before God and give an account for how you've lived in light of the scriptures. Do you know them? Have you read them? You know, here in about 10, 12 minutes when I get done, Brother Brooks, Brother Flunder are going to come back on. Really, don't hang up with just when the preaching part's over. You need to follow up on that contact information. How do I find somebody to study with? How do I get into this Word of God, this Bible? How do I know what applies to me? If I'm going to stand before God and give an account, I need to know how that's going to work. Revelation 20 and verse 12. They were judged out of the book of life by their deeds. Revelation 2 and verse 23. I am he who searches the reins and the hearts. I will give to every one of you according to your works. Friends, our behaviors that are going to be judged include the things that we don't do. You know, James 4:17 says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. I wonder how many of us do a pretty good job of avoiding, you know, some sin. We don't drink, we don't fornicate, we don't cuss. There's a lot of things we don't do. But we don't do anything that is good. We don't do anything that's spiritual. We don't worship God. We don't serve God. We don't serve a fellow man. We don't get involved in being part of the solution to the various problems that arise. Friend, if I had a chalkboard and I began to write down zeros, a long column of zeros, 0 + 0 + 0 + 0 + 0 = 0. And that's what a lot of people do. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do the other. You don't do anything. You can't go to heaven doing nothing. We've got to do the good things. We have to serve God. Back to Matthew 25, when Christ, back to that judgment scene, it says, I'll separate the sheep from the goats. Whatever he does on those sheep and goats, everybody who's condemned in Matthew 25, you have the parable of the five foolish virgins, you've got the one talent man, you've got the goats. All three of the categories there who are lost. Those are all three, by the way, judgment parables. The virgins were lost. The foolish man with the one talent was lost, and the sheep were lost for the things they did not do. The virgins did not finish their course. They quit too soon. They weren't ready to stay with God for the duration of their life. The one talent man, he was lazy. He had a bad attitude. He hid his talent, and he did not use it for his master. The goats that were condemned, they were condemned. Christ said, because I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was sick, you did not minister to me. I was in prison, you didn't come see me. They were condemned not for a long list of what you and I might call big sins. They were condemned because they didn't do anything for God. They didn't serve God. Luke 6:46, Christ says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Another passage that affects some things that we're going to be judged by, the words that we speak. You want a very sobering passage? How about Matthew 12:36-37? Every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Friend, you better watch out what you say. There's a lot of bad stuff that comes out of our mouths sometimes. I don't just mean cuss words, though cuss words are bad. But there is so much blasphemy. There is so much taking the Lord's name in vain. There are so many people who begin to rattle their head and run their mouths against things the Bible says are serious, to make light of things, to defend things the Word of God says are sinful and wicked and abominations, and then to condemn those things that God says are right. Isaiah 5 and verse 20 says, woe unto them who put black for white and white for black, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Good for evil and evil for good. We got a lot of that right now, where people who live in abject sin are defended And the righteous, the holy, the pure, the godly are condemned and made fun of. Make sure that you don't stand before God having to give an account for that kind of thing. Be careful what we say, brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors. It's going to come back to us one of these days. And in the secret things, Romans 2 and verse 16, God will judge us by the secret things. You know, sometimes we think we got away with things. We don't get away with anything with God. You may fool your parents. You may fool your spouse. You may fool your boss. You're not fooling God. God will bring into judgment everything, including every secret thing before us. And we need to understand that our deeds, our actions, our thoughts, our words. You know, the next one, the next point I want to make is, what is the standard? What is the law that's going to be used? Well, it's the Bible. It's the Word of God. Psalm 96 and verse 13. And he shall judge the world in righteousness and the people with his truth. It's the Word of God that's going to be used to judge us. By the way, it's the Word of God that frees us. I don't want this to come across like it's negative. It's negative if you're not ready for it. But God is giving us wholesome words, good words, pure words, saving words. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God is like medicine to the soul. Is that the tree of life in the Garden of Eden? If you'll feed on the Word of God, Psalm 1, the blessed man reads and studies and meditates upon the Word of God, and he is sustained because of it. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my way. The final judgment, the Word of God, the Bible is what's going to be used. You've got one. If you don't have one, get you one. If you can't afford one, get a hold of us. We'll send you a free one. But get your Bible. Get into it. Figure out and see what God wants to teach us. John 12:48, Christ says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word I have spoken, those words shall judge him in the last day. This is not a pop quiz. There are no surprises here. Jesus Christ taught clearly. The Bible teaches clearly. The church teaches clearly. His word is the standard. You're going to stand there. By the way, the final judgment, next point, you got to keep moving. The next point is the final judgment will be impartial. Romans 2 and verse 11, there is no respect of persons with God. You're going to get a fair shake. You won't need an appeal. You won't need a lawyer. You're not going to get accused of anything you didn't do. You're not going to get credit for anything that you should have done that you didn't do either. God is right, just, pure, and holy. He will judge the world in righteousness, Acts 17 and verse 31. The world is so wicked. We're so bent sometimes. We prejudge each other. We call that prejudice. We categorize people because it's easier than thinking. We try to think about what we think they believe without asking them. You know, it's amazing. If you talk to people, you can figure out very quickly what they think and what they feel. You don't have to let someone tell you, well, those people this, these people that. That's the devil talking, friends. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, when Samuel had been tasked with a job from God to go out and to select a new king for his people, he was told to go to the house of Jesse, and the king was among his sons. He begins to look, and those first three sons of Jesse were big, strapping, muscle-up, good-looking guys. He thought, surely Eliab, that oldest son, that's got to be the one God wants as a king. And God warned Samuel. Samuel's a good man. He's a prophet. He said, Samuel, you're looking at the flesh. He says, I don't look at the outward man. I look at the heart. God's not, he doesn't care about our physical characteristics. God is a spirit, John 4:24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is dealing with spiritual sin. It's not the corruption of the flesh. The flesh itself is amoral. It's not good or bad. It's just there. It is the soul of man which God put into us in our creation, back to Genesis chapter 1, that Christ came to live and die for, to remove our spiritual sins through which our eternal souls can be saved. That's why it's impartial. It's a holy God trying to call his people to holiness wherein salvation can be theirs. Acts 10:34 and 35. As Peter sums up what happened there at the house of Cornelius, he says, I know that God is no respecter of persons. John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but rather judge righteous judgment. When you stand before God, you're going to get a fair trial. When is the time of the final judgment? Well, it's going to be after several things happen. Matthew 24:36 makes it very clear. Of that hour and that day, no man knows. A whole lot of people spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out exactly when it's going to be, when what I'm trying to get you to see and what the Bible says is you get right with God, you get ready for it, and then it doesn't matter when it comes. If it comes tomorrow, if it comes 1,000 years after you're dead, it doesn't matter if you're ready. Christ over and over again taught that very thing. Be ready, be ready. But here are a few things that will happen before he comes back. Before the judgment, Matthew 25:31, Christ and all of his angels will return. 1 Thessalonians 1:7-9, Christ will come back in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and those who obey not the truth. 2 Peter 3:7-10, the day of the Lord cometh the thief of the night, the earth shall be destroyed and melted with a fervent heat, and all the works of the world be burned up. So all that's going to happen first. All the dead are going to resurrect. John 5:28-29, Christ there says, marvel not at this, for the hour cometh, when all them who are in the grave shall come forth. They shall hear his voice and come forth. The judgment will cause separation. Our second to last point. Matthew 25:32 and following, he's going to separate. And I shall separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, he says. Revelation 20:15, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, this day of judgment, it used to bother me. I thought, it's going to be embarrassing when God stands up and tells everybody what you did. That's not what this is. God will only see two kinds of people at the judgment. When Christ looks out there at you, he will either see someone who is washed in his blood and saved, or someone who's covered in sin and lost. Once you become a Christian, all your past sins are washed away. You don't have any sins on you. There's only two groups of people that day there before Christ, those who serve God and those who serve mammon. Matthew 6:24. Those who walk the narrow road and those who walk the broad road. Matthew 7:13-14. Those who are wise and those who are foolish. Matthew 7:23-27. The good and the evil. John 5:29. There's no middle ground. There are the saved, Acts 2:47, and there are the lost. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Friend, if you stand there washed in his blood, you're ready for the day of judgment. If you don't, you're not. The final point, the final judgment will be final. It will be God's last word concerning sin. Romans 12:19, all things will be made right. The faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:17, Christians, faithful Christians, will be caught up with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Friend, if you're not a child of God, and a whole bunch of you aren't, to become a Christian, you've got to hear the truth, Romans 10:17. You've got to believe it, John 3:16. You got to repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. You've got to confess your faith in Christ with your mouth, Romans 10:10. And you've got to be born again, John 3:2-5. Baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. Where your past sins are washed away, Acts 2:38. You die to self, you resurrect a new creature in Christ, Romans 3:6-following. That person is ready for the judgment. Perhaps you became a Christian, but you walked away. You haven't stayed faithful to the Lord. But 1 John 1:7-9 says, if we will come to God, we'll ask him in prayer to forgive us. We repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. He is faithful and true to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. Friends, back to that 1 Thessalonians 4:17. That's the verse that says we'll be caught up with the Lord. You know, I love verse 18. It says, comfort ye one another with these words. Friends, the final judgment is coming. If you're not ready, you should be scared to death. 2 Corinthians 5:11, Paul there says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If you're not a faithful child of God, you need to get back with God. If you are a Christian, don't be lazy. There are souls out there that need saving. May God give us the strength, the character, the drive, the will, the health, the clarity of thought, mind, and strength, and bodily health, to get out there and try to seek and save those who are lost while we can, just like he did, Luke 19:10. Friends, my time is gone. I hope you've enjoyed that. Listen, don't leave. Stay tuned as Brother Brooks and Brother Funder come back on the air and talk to you a little bit about how to get in touch with us if we can study with you more. God bless you.